welcome, welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair and Greg Bach coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. Calvin off today. He will be back tomorrow. You can always join us. Call or text 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and or what used to be Twitter. Very busy show today, Greg Bach. We have political consultant Joe Zepecki is going to be joining us at 10:33.
Oh, yeah.
And we are going to talk a little bit more about Project 2025.
Yes.
He has been on before to talk about this. It's like a 900-page document. It's very, very detailed. And this is the plan for what will happen under a second Trump administration. So, and it's right. I mean, you can find it on the web. This guy, I think it's project2025.com if you have the time to read it.
Yeah.
But Joe's going to be here so we can break that down a little bit. At 11:06, we're going to go beyond the cheese with Andrew Griffin, who grows mushrooms in Madison.
I can't wait to just play that clip. I love this, the Beyond the Cheese clip. Whichever genius came up with that, I'd really love to shake his or her hand.
Mm. And then Maggie Dawn joining us at 11:33. She had this on her show a couple of weeks ago, and I heard it, and I was like, you need to come and join us to explain this mandate for America. This is another blueprint for what's being considered, how they will rework the entire government should Donald Trump get a second term. I wanted to start off, though, a little bit differently. And I know Earl was talking about Donald Trump's rally over the weekend in which he called for a bloodbath, whether or not it was about the auto industry, that was kind of in the context. But I thought it was really important to start off with how that rally started.
Yeah.
So the announcer comes on and says, please rise for the horribly and unfairly treated January 6th hostages. And as a recorded mashup of the national anthem sung by these January 6th insurrectionists, Donald Trump salutes. He saluted the people who attacked our Capitol on January 6th. He described them as unbelievable patriots and hostages, and again indicated that he will pardon them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are the January 6th people, the people who are in jail, some have been sentenced to prison for 7 years, 10 years.
Yes.
Are they hostages? 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. They're not hostages.
No, they are traitors.
At least in my estimation.
They are treasonous. They are traitors. They are people who you could say got what they deserved, but honestly, you march on the Capitol with the intent of hurting people and stopping the freely safe election happening from happening, then you are not a patriot. You are not a hostage. You are not to be sympathized with. You are a criminal.
Charlie Sykes had a really good compilation in MSNBC over the weekend about just who some of these hostages are. Like Julian Cater, who used a can of bear spray to attack Capitol Police, who are trying to hold the line against the attackers. One of the officers that Julian Cater sprayed with bear spray was Brian Sicknick, who died the following day after suffering a stroke.
Yes.
Last year, Cater pled guilty to two counts of assaulting, resisting, or impeding officers with a dangerous weapon. He has been sentenced to more than 6 years in prison. Another hostage, according to Donald Trump, anyway, Pete Stager, got 52 months in prison after assaulting a Capitol Police officer with a flagpole. In video that he took that day, Stager declared that, quote, every single one of those Capitol law enforcement officers, death is the remedy. That is the only remedy they get, unquote.
Isn't this the party of Back the Blue?
Yes.
Aren't they all about respecting the blue lives, which I'm not going to get into right now. I'm just saying as a fact, their cars generally are adorned with bumper stickers that say as much.
We back the blue.
But not so much when they're trying to protect the country you say you love. the one you're trying to tear down from the outside in. Good. Got it. Noted. I wrote that down, Jane. Back the blue. Sometimes.
Sometimes.
Asterisk. Terms and conditions apply.
At Donald Trump's rally over the weekend, he referred to the January 6th attackers as hostages and great patriots, and strongly implies that he will pardon them if he gets reelected.
Which his pardoning record shows that he absolutely will.
Well, and doesn't this also then imply that going forward, if you do something illegal that was directed by Donald Trump, he'll pardon you for it?
Absolutely. Or he'll try to somehow get whatever you've done made not illegal anymore. Or because maybe he wants his qualified immunity that he needs to have, Jane. He needs to have it.
Right.
He can somehow sign a piece of paper that says John Doe can do X and it's fine. Love and sloppy kisses, Donald.
A comprehensive review of body cam footage by the Justice Department found approximately 1,000 events characterized as assaults on federal officers. The Department of Justice has gotten more than 718 guilty pleas, including 213 defendants who pled guilty to felonies, including seditious conspiracy and assaulting federal officers. Another 171 defendants have also been convicted. Are they heroes? Are they patriots? Are they hostages? They are, according to Donald Trump, the people who attacked the Capitol on January 6th. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Let's consider Ronald Colton Maccabee, an off-duty sheriff's deputy who grabbed the leg of a fallen officer, dragging him towards the mob. Mr. Maccabee was wearing reinforced knuckle gloves, and when another officer tried to help his colleague who was on the ground, Maccabee swung at them. Videos captured it. Quote, he then lifted the first downed officer, and they both slid down a set of steps, with Maccabee falling on top of the officer who was hospitalized. He got 70 months in prison.
I was told by some congressman or senator, though, Jane, just me, I was told by someone, they were just a bunch of tourists.
Regular tourist visit.
And I'm supposed to believe that because they are walking between the velvet ropes. So I don't understand what you're saying. I've been on a lot of tours. I've given a lot of tours, and this doesn't happen. So how could tourists, just basic patriotic tourists, do such a thing, Jane?
I don't, at least when I have gone to tourist destinations, I rarely smash windows in order to get in.
No, usually the places I'm going for a tour, they're open already.
Isn't that something?
I'm very, very, I guess I'm just a weak American.
The FBI says Vincent J. Gillespie grabbed a riot shield from police and can be seen in footage using that shield to ram law enforcement officers while screaming traitor and treason at them. He got 5.5 years in prison for assaulting, resisting, and impeding officers. Peter Schwartz went to the January 6th attack on the Capitol armed with a wooden tire knocker.
What is that?
I will have to look it up.
I'm looking it up right now.
And assaulted police with a chair and chemical spray. After the attack, he boasted in a text message he had thrown the first chair at the cops, bragging, "I started a riot." Own it. Embrace it.
A wooden tire knocker just looks like a wooden billy club.
That sounds about right.
Yeah. Prosecutors, I started a riot. Okay.
I started a riot. And so embrace it, Peter. You did. And now you're paying the consequences for it. Prosecutors noted Schwartz had nearly 40 prior convictions for assaults and threats to officers. 40.
That was just funny because you turned from your mic and just 40.
Well,
yeah. 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 But.
But we back the blue. We love the blue.
And yet there are. No, I'm going to let you keep reading. There's more.
He's now serving 14 years for assaulting, resisting, impeding law enforcement officers using a dangerous weapon, interfering with law enforcement during a civil disorder, obstruction of an official proceeding. There's lots more.
There's so many more. So many more. And that just then poses the question for me, how do you, not you or me, and I've asked this question before of our conservative listeners, because I know they're out there. How do you square that information to then lessen what they have done to fit your narrative? How do you take people who have injured and or killed not just individuals, but the police that you so care about and you want to be protected so much, even though they have tanks? How do you square that behavior to fit around the narrative that justifies your beliefs?
855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream if you are watching there. Are they heroes? Are they patriots? Do the January 6th assaulters deserve to be pardoned? Because Donald Trump says he will.
Yeah, and he will do it. He has pardoned enough despicable people to show that he will absolutely and no doubt, just on first day in office, will have a bunch of pardons created. He will sign them all, and he will stand on the Harry Truman balcony, wave to the people, and say, "I am their king."
And they'll believe it.
Yep. Well, king, I am their God.
Yeah, that too. Peter Webster, a former cop from New York, seen repeatedly pushing at the barricades, swinging a flagpole at an officer before shoving through the police line and tackling the officer. Well, Peter's now serving 10 years for charges including assaulting a law enforcement officer with a deadly or dangerous weapon. I think for people, there's still the, it was Antifa, it was the feds, they sucked people into this.
Yeah.
Even though they brought things they could use as weapons.
Yeah.
And I do think that there were some people that really didn't do anything. Were in the Capitol, probably walked around, and then probably left.
Possibly one of them sitting in Congress right now.
Yeah, that could. Good point.
Yeah.
855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Are they patriots? Should they be pardoned? Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Many's the time I've been mistaken, and many times confused.
Good morning, and welcome to Matt Nair on air. Thank you so much for joining us. Wherever you're listening, across Wisconsin, across the country, around the world, you can call or text 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. Political consultant Joe Zepecki going to be joining us coming up at 10:33. We're going to talk more about Project 2025. Right now, though, we're talking about Donald Trump's rally over the weekend, in which he started off the rally by proclaiming the people who are serving time in prison for the attack on the January 6th are patriots and heroes and should be pardoned. And I'm just curious. Are they patriots? Are they hostages? Because he calls them hostages, too. That's the new effort to rewrite what happened that day.
And that's when all of his lemmings and sycophants will say the same thing. They're hostages.
Right. Elise Stefanik is saying it now. That has become their mantra. These people being so unfairly treated after attacking our officers with flagpoles and ostensible billy clubs.
Mm-hmm.
855-75-CIVIC. Scott from Milwaukee is on the line. Good morning, Scott. Thank you so much for joining us. What do you want to say?
Just quickly, I just want to say Trump needs to make up his mind. First, he told his people that this was Antifa. This was not his people that attacked the Capitol.
Yep.
Now he's claiming they're patriots and he wants to pardon them. So he needs to make up his mind, and his poor followers need to know what to believe and what to repeat.
For sure.
Yeah.
Right? He gives them their talking points, and then they go back and they take it out to their friends and their family and are you know, in an effort to rewrite history, Scott. And you're right. It was all Antifa and FBI originally.
Yes.
It wasn't any Trump supporters, right?
Right.
Yeah, it was just all Antifa, all Antifa, all FBI, and then now, oh, wait. They're my people. They're patriots. They're heroes.
Yeah, so he needs to know his people are waiting for the walking papers. What do we need to believe, but what do we need to be repeating? I thank you guys. You have a great program.
Thank you, Scott.
Thank you so much, Scott. Really appreciate you chiming in. You can join us, too, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Jeff on the live stream says a retired admiral called them what they are, convicted felons.
Yep. You know, Jane, this I will make this connect, I promise you. In comic books and comic book movies and just movies in general that have like a universe, there's something called retconning. And retconning is when you have a story and it has a character and you decide you want to make that character have take a different turn. So that turn contradicts the previous history. So you just sort of say, nope, this is something new.
That never happened.
It never happened. This is all the new stuff is what's called canon. That's fine in comic book movies.
Yeah.
That's not fine in real life. And the fact that we live in a world where, just as Scott said, it was Antifa, it was the corrupt FBI, it was Hillary, it was just a laptop in the middle of the room that did all the damage. And now they're like, no, these are patriots, these are heroes and hostages. And really?
I watched it live, and there we go.
Sorry, wrong button.
I realize not everyone watched it happen in real time, but I did. And it was horrifying. It was horrifying to watch. And granted, as we said, not every single person there took part in violence. Not every single person there broke through windows to get in. But there was certainly a faction who did. And there was certainly a large faction who attacked the Capitol Police. We're not making that up. We saw it with our own eyes. This is the ultimate George Orwell, 1984. Don't believe what your eyes see. Believe what I tell you. 855-75-CIVIC. Charles from Green Bay is on the line. Good morning, Charles. Thanks for joining us.
Hey guys, good to hear you talking about this. My question, my line is this. There's a great movie out there with Sean Connery, and I believe it was De Niro and stuff like that. It says, if you don't have the time, don't do the crime. But the fact of the matter is, if it was a peaceful demonstration and these people are patriots, why are there so many people who have passed away because of it? That's murder.
Yeah. Yes. That's, and one of their own, murder. Too.
Well, she was a martyr now.
Yeah, I know. But my point is, like, this has killed people on both sides.
Thank you so much for calling, Charles. Really appreciate it.
You Thanks,
too.
Charles.
You too. Tom from L.A. up next. Good morning, Tom. Thanks for calling in. What do you think?
Absolutely. We the people ultimately are the government, and we must never forget that. So when you're talking about public, maybe start using the word we the people. Or government, start using the word we the people, because that's who it is. Second, what would have happened if Joe Biden would have said the same thing on Saturday? I really want conservatives to think about that. Bloodbath in the street, basically, if I don't win an election. What would be going on today with our media? What would be going on today with Joe Biden himself? Just think about that, people.
Well, Thank you... Thanks a lot, Tom. Excuse me. You make a great point. But Donald Trump's rhetoric has always been extreme and frightening and terrifying. And the double standard has always existed. No Democrat could have gotten away with anything. Good heavens, that Access Hollywood tape when Trump admitted to grabbing women's genitals because he's a star and he can do whatever he wants. If a Democrat had done that,
no. There
would have been a public burning.
No, it would have been, I mean, Joe Biden eats ice cream on television and people are losing their minds.
Thanks a lot, Tom. Have a great day. Yeah, it's, but that's why, again, that's why we go down memory lane from time to time to remind folks of what was going on 4 years ago under the Trump administration. That's why we talk about these things, to bring attention, because not everyone is watching his rallies. We talk about this all the time, Greg. Not everyone swims in the same place where we swim in all this news. But that's why I think it's important to bring this stuff up so we know what's happening out there. Jack from Merrimack is joining us. Good morning, Jack. Thanks so much for calling in.
Thank you for taking my call. When I was growing up, and this is admittedly a long time ago, we heard about stuff like this happening in dictatorships and communist countries. It was called re-education. Let's tell the narrative. Let's educate everybody. In other words, brainwash them to the narrative that we want them to know. All I can say about this is Joe McCarthy and the House Un-American Activities Committee, where are you when we really need you?
That's a question I never thought I'd hear.
Thank you so much, Jack. Really appreciate it.
That's sarcasm, yes.
And, you know, that's the thing, is that he brings up an interesting idea of brainwashing. That's something we see in movies, and we're like, oh, it's a movie. No big deal. But how does it happen?
It's happening in real time, folks.
Yeah.
It is. All right, news is on the way next. When we return, political consultant Joseph Pecky joins us. I hope you will join us, too. Stay close. This is Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
For we come on the ship they call the Mayflower. We come on the ship that sails the moon. We come in the ages most uncertain hours and sing an American tune.
Oh. In the desert where we search for gold, the days are hot, the nights are cold. Hank and Joe and me walked on, so bold and brave and free.
Good morning, welcome to Matt Nair on air. So Jane Matt Nair and Greg Bach coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. Political consultant Joseph Pecky is not able to hear us for some very odd reason.
That is very, very odd,
we
too.
We can see you. You look great. But he is unable to hear us. We'll have him call in instead at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. And we'll talk to Joe that way. We're going to talk about Project 2025. This is something that Joe has joined us to talk about several times before. And it is a massive plan for what will happen under the next Republican administration, and now that Donald Trump is the nominee. Oh, now he's back.
Fixed it.
Can you hear us now?
Live radio. Gotta love it.
I love live radio. It's always so interesting. Good to have you with us, Joe. So we're going to talk a little bit more about Project 2025, because I think most people are not going to take the time to read, what is it, all 920 pages or something like that? It's pretty thick.
Yeah. It's pretty thick and pretty weird.
It's really essentially going to remake the entire government, right?
Yeah. It's just so weird. That is the big thing.
Good luck. Good job. You've dumbfounded Joseph Pecky.
The folks behind this are so clearly like in their own bubble in ways that are just profoundly, again, weird. Their definition of pornography is anything that depicts non-heterosexual relationships. So clearly these are the weirdos who were so scarred and offended by Will and Grace, which debuted in the late 90s, and they just like sat there and hate watched it. And now, you know, 25, 26 years later are like, finally, we can get power and we can make sure nobody ever has to watch sitcom comedy ever again.
But like, the reboot was great.
It's so weird. Yeah, like it's so weird. These people are weird.
But they're, but they're also scary.
They're, yes, this is, that's the other part of
this,
it.
This is scary. I mean, this part I'm reading about the CDC, what they want to do to the CDC, Health and Human Services should be every use of every available tool, including the cutting of funds to ensure that every state reports exactly how many abortions happen within state borders, at what gestational age of the fetus, for what reason, the mother's state of residence, and by what method. A unified data bank with comprehensive data on every abortion in America. We feeling good about that, ladies?
Again, how weird is that? Because let's like take a step back and provide some context, okay? There could be valid scientific, you know, reasons to want to understand more about abortion. There could be.
Sure.
Right?
I'll give you that.
And these are the folks who have prevented CDC and NIH and the federal government from doing any kind of study of gun deaths.
Yes.
For decades.
Yes.
So that tells you these are not like rational actors using the scientific method to try to learn more to get to good policy outcomes. It really reads like they want to have as clear a roadmap as possible to go after women who have had to have an abortion.
Yes.
And not even that. And like we're not just talking, there is such a thing as like elective abortions in this country. They are exceedingly rare. And there are way more abortions that are born of medical necessity, or that a woman begins to miscarry. And then there is, you know, to make that process safer and more quick for the mom, the expectant mother, to like move things along. They want the data on that to do what with? And it just makes you wonder, because they're so weird. Of like, this is suddenly what science they're going to believe in? I don't buy it.
Oh, absolutely. This is not about science, Joe. This has nothing to do with science or, as you said, gaining more data to find out more about abortion and how abortion is used in this country and the different instances. No, this is about tracking women and shaming women. They want to track women and prevent women from crossing state lines. That seems unconstitutional to me.
I don't know that there's anything in this plan that I've seen yet that would be constitutional. I mean, it's all sort of born of the power of the unitary executive theory to the max, right? And you know, we know that there are folks on the right who just frankly like aren't interested anymore in what the Constitution says or checks and balances. I still hope that it's fewer of them than we think. But there are some deeply troubled individuals. Look no further than some of the chuckleheads we saw behind the January 6th plot, the Ken Cheeseboroughs and Jim Troopuses of the world. These folks are so lost in the sauce that they have lost all connection to reality and all comprehension of what made America special and unique in the first place. And so what do they care about the constitutionality?
Right.
They have a worldview in mind, and they're trying to reverse engineer policy decisions and prescriptions to get there. And again, it's just so weird to like to strike out the notion of individuals in federal laws and policies and regulations, and to make everything about families. Listen, I love my family. I love almost all families,
right,
that aren't into like weird, nasty stuff like overthrowing the American Constitution, right? Yeah. I don't care what your family looks like, you know, what it's made up of in terms of who's and why's and what bathrooms they use and who they love. I don't care. I love families. But it is such a fundamental, like, reordering of we the people are sovereign.
Yeah.
Right? It's almost saying, like, as an individual, you have no rights. The Bill of Rights was written for individuals and to protect individual liberties. And these folks want to strike the word individual and make families the nurse of everything. That would really change the way that it's all interpreted.
Joseph,
that the rights are derived not from people, but from families. What?
Well, no, I thought the rights all came from God. Our guest is political consultant Joseph Pecky. He is going to be here until 11 o'clock, and we're talking about Project 2025. He's been on before to try and break down some of the portions of it. It's very long. It's very extensive. It's more than 900 pages.
It's very weird.
And frightening. It's scary. And for women should be terrified.
Yeah.
Women should be absolutely terrified. Cindy from Appleton has been very patiently waiting. Good morning, Cindy. What do you want to say?
Well, I'd just like to say thank you for talking about this. I have not read all of it. I've read snippets of it. You're right. It's damn straight scary. And the worst part is people just don't understand what this is all about. And it's not only going to take rights from women, it's going to take rights away from gay people. They won't be able to marry. They won't be able to cohabitate anymore. The next thing you know, you won't be able to marry a person of color. If you're a white woman, that'll become another thing that you won't be able to do. I mean, this is just downright the party of supposed freedoms taking every freedom away from the majority of us. And it's just out of this world crazy.
It is. Thank you so much, Cindy. It is. It's frightening, at least from my perspective. Project 2025 also looks at a much broader role for Health and Human Services in upholding a traditionalist conservative Christian understanding of gender, family, and motherhood. Another of the key goals for HHS, promoting stable and flourishing married families.
Well, what does that even mean?
I don't know. I mean, and well, I'm not against that, but
I know what they think it means, but I thought they had all read the Bible. It's been a while for me, right? Let he who is without sin cast the first stone.
Oh, that's
the Bible, yeah. Right? Like Christianity teaches to love your neighbor and to forgive sin. And so we have gone from so-called professed Christians are now using Christianity to argue that you should not forgive, right? And you should not turn the other cheek. You should use the powers of the state to go after people who do not live, look, love like you do. That is so messed up.
It sort of reflects, though, you know, we've talked about it before, but an article we discussed months ago about the fact that these newer American Christians actually see the love, acceptance, you know, the general milieu, if you will, of Jesus as weak and liberal. So they're just saying, nah, I'm not going to, I like the all powerful God stuff. Like that's my jam, but the Jesus love stuff. Nah, that's for
Wimps.
Sleepy Joe and his crew.
And you got to wonder where it comes from. Because as far as
fear.
I know, the only multi-million dollar budgeting for a marketing campaign that can include a Super Bowl commercial is for Jesus to wash everybody's feet and that kind, caring, loving, inclusive Jesus. Those ads weren't targeted for me, but you can't not notice them.
Yeah.
But that is not the hellfire and brimstone God that is clearly informing some choices being made by these Heritage Foundation and allied organizations who are coming up with this kooky stuff.
Well, you're absolutely right, Joe. And we've talked about this before, just as far as these Christians, as they refer to themselves, they're Old Testament folks. They like the God that would smite. They're big into smiting and smiting their enemies. And, you know, and I also think, unfortunately, I think it is naive for people to think that they're only going to go after people you don't like. That's not how it works. That might be right. How it starts, but that's not how it ends. right?
What? Yeah. What's it? First, they came for the trade unionists, and I did not object because I was not a trade unionist.
Yep.
I mean, it's and it's just so fundamentally un-American. Again, weird, warped, twisted. These folks got to get out of whatever soup they've been swimming in and go do something.
Yeah.
Go to a local high school gym on a Saturday and watch people of all ages and races come together and play basketball, because it'll remind you, wow, everything's not terrible. This is pretty cool. In fact, there's some pretty cool things happening, I think, that are very different from even like 5 years ago. The number of moms coaching their boys, their sons' basketball teams is really cool. And I guess that makes me different from the authors of Project 2025, that I notice that difference and can track that from when I was a little one to when our high schooler was a little one to now today. It's been a rapid increase in the number of moms and women who are coaching boys' teams. And I think that's awesome.
And
what they think is, oh my God, we need to write a 900-page plan to reimagine civilization.
And to stop things like that from happening, because those lady coaches are going to demasculinize our boys. It's going to be bad, Joe. It's going to be bad.
That way of thinking is fatally flawed by failing to understand how much tougher than men women are. We'll just... other point.
855-75-CIVIC if you would like to join the conversation. Joe will be with us when we return. Stephen on the line. Don't hang up. Stay close. This is Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
A bed of gold nuggets under me. Now I know that it won't be long till they decorate my bones. Cause I'm dying,
dying, dying
for water. Can't help crying,
crying, crying
for water. Let her go, let her go, let her go. Don't cry, Joe. Let her go.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, political consultant Joe Zepecki is here. You can always join the conversation 855-75-CIVIC. Or if you have a guest you would like to suggest or a topic we should cover, you can send that to Jane Says, JaneSays. Send it to JaneSays@civicmedia.us. We have been talking about Project 2025. Joe's been on a couple times before to talk about this because it's pretty detailed and it's pretty frightening, as well as very weird. But we have Stephen from Green Bay is on the line. Stephen, thank you for calling. What do you want to say?
Well, I want to first start off by saying after a brief hiatus, I am back. With that being said, I was brought up in the church by my grandmother as a young boy. And I will tell you, the Christianity that is practiced and preached in the mainstream today and the Christianity that I was brought up on is unrecognizable of each other. The fundamentals that I was taught as a little boy and the stuff that the right is spewing now don't match up in any puzzle box you put them in together. They're two different ways of thinking, two different ways of, you know, interpreting the same text. It's unbelievable, really.
Yeah, I don't know what happened to love thy neighbor like thyself and, you know, welcome the stranger and what you do to the least of these you do to me. You know, that's kind of what I remember. I haven't read the Bible in a long time, but those little tidbits kind of stuck with me.
Yeah, well, that's the main, you know, meat and guts of the Bible. But the thing is, you know, you can take any book and, you know, pick it apart to meet your agenda. And that's exactly what the right does for the Bible.
Oh, without a doubt. Thank you so much, Stephen. Really appreciate it. They've been cherry-picking things from Leviticus for decades. I mean, the only thing that they think that should apply from Leviticus is about what a man shall not lie with another man.
Yeah.
They skip all the, don't, you can't cut your hair, you can't get tattoos, you can't touch pork, you can't.
No shellfish.
No shellfish, no planting.
No more football on Sundays.
No more football Sundays. No,
skin of a dead pig.
You can't wear clothing of mixed fibers. So
God
yeah.
was a particular God back in those days.
Yes, very different you know, rules.
Something I want to say really, really quick too is, you know, when we think of when, you know, Stephen mentioned Christians and we've been talking about Christianity, a lot of people have a certain Christian in mind. And I just want to say to all those, whether you are Catholic, lapsed Catholic, or former Catholic, we are not exempt. A lot of times people think Catholics are like real laid back and real fun. I went to 12 years of Catholic school. I don't remember proselytizing, fire and brimstone, none of that stuff. It was very Jesus, love, acceptance. That's not how it is in the Catholic Church anymore. Now we have a Pope, Francis. He's cool, but you know, but you go to, I went to a Catholic mass recently and I was shocked at how hardcore the homily was. It was not about, it was about going out in the world and doing your best. But if you don't live with Jesus in your soul, you will be condemned. I don't remember being taught that as a kid. And I spoke to a friend of mine who works in the Catholic Church. He says, yes, it's getting a lot more hard right because they want people coming into the doors. And that's the way you appeal to people now.
Well, then we got to have the whole discussion about taxing the churches, because that seems to me to be somewhat problematic.
Oh, please tax them all.
We're talking about Project 2025 and how it would essentially remake our entire system of governments. And at least in my estimation, not in a good way. The very first sentence in the chapter about the Department of Education states federal education policy should be limited. And ultimately, the Federal Department of Education should be eliminated.
Chapter 2.
So, yeah. No more public schools. It's going to be, and that's what we're working to, that's what yep. they're working towards yes. now. Anyway, they want to kill public education and funnel kids into religious schools.
They've been doing an awfully good job of it.
Yeah, they sure have.
I mean, this is a decades-long strategy to defund public schools. And I'll say it, defund it, you know, defund the police makes more sense than defund schools. It just does. Like, I'm not a defund the police guy. I don't think that's, you know, necessary or going to work or is going to have the outcomes that people who, you know, believe that want. But there's just no comparison. It's an even stupider idea to defund schools. And this is all, it strikes me, born of the right lost the culture wars. And they think that the world that they live in is unrecognizable from the way that they grew up. And so they're throwing a 900-page, $50 million temper tantrum. And people should understand that this is not a dress rehearsal.
No.
The last time was a dress rehearsal.
Yep.
Right? They got somebody in there who they could control and could get to do whatever the heck they wanted. And now they think that it might happen again. And if it happens, they're going to be ready. And so what I mean by that is, like, it came out recently, you know, Donald Trump stepped in it again on Social Security and Medicare. He said, there's a lot there you can do to cut.
Yep.
And then everybody jumped up and was like, no, you can't do that. And he realized he'd made a political mistake. And one of his former chiefs of staff, who's now a talking head for, I think, CBS, comes out and says, like, I tricked him, him being President Trump. I tricked him into cutting Medicare by talking about it in a different way, because Trump is such a pleaser and, you know, always agrees with the last person who talks to him. I think Mick Mulvaney. So Mulvaney comes out and just says, like, yeah, I just pulled a fast one on him. He said we weren't going to cut Social Security or Medicare. And I said, well, what about, and he named like a sub program of one of them. And he went, we'll cut that one.
Okay.
Yeah. And so even if, like, Donald Trump is no intellectual heavyweight, right? He's not writing this 900-page plan. Ah. He is the people pleaser who the folks with ill intention in their hearts are now trying to come up with a roadmap for how to get him to do what they want, which is to fundamentally roll back progress America has made in terms of rights and freedoms from who you love, et cetera. And it is very scary and deeply weird. These people are too weird to be trusted.
Joe Zopecki has been our guest Love having you on the show, Joe. Thank you so very, very much. Stay with us. News is next. When we return, we are going beyond the cheese, and we're talking about mushroom growing in Wisconsin. This is Matt Nair on air. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
There are lots of other girls, so I say.